The title for my sermon today is simply Respect. This idea of respect for a sermon came from a scripture that I will talk about a little bit later in the sermon. But as I was writing this message, it became more and more obvious to me that respect is something that God cares about deeply. Respect is something that will help us get into the kingdom of God. And it ties into so many aspects of being a Christian. To start, we must understand that God's laws are spiritual. There is a spiritual intent behind the things that we do. We are not spirit yet, but rather flesh and blood. Therefore, we cannot obtain spiritual things without the help of God. God's entire law is built to help us physically so that we can obtain spirituality. In order to comprehend this, we must be able to realize that while we are physical, we can use the Spirit of God to produce spiritual qualities in our lives. That's something we have been talking about all feast long. The fruit of God's Spirit are not physical. We do the actions physically, but the intent and the quality should be of the Spirit. The deepest intent of God's law is to make us more and more spiritually aligned with Him. If you will, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 1, we'll read to verse 4. 1 Corinthians 3, and beginning in verse 1. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are still not able, for you are still carnal. For where there are envy and strife and divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, 'I am of Paul,' and another, 'I am of Apollos,' are you not carnal?" Now, Paul is addressing people in the church who had been in the church a while. And he is stating that they are acting in ways that are not spiritual. Carnality is still being a part of this world, thinking and acting how this world thinks and acts. When we begin to think about God's laws as spiritual and as completely opposite from the ways of this world, we will begin to see how different our lives can and should be. Turning to Galatians 5, beginning in verse 13. The scripture has gotten a lot of work this year. Galatians 5 and verse 13, and we'll read to verse 26. "I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, and lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And now, the things that we are to be. Verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, and joy, and peace, long-suffering, and kindness, and goodness, and faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against there is such, there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another or envying one another. And so with this in mind, I want to talk about respect. Because it is a fruit that is sorely lacking in this world. And sometimes, even with us, we lack respect. I spent a lot of time thinking about what I wanted to talk about in this sermon. And for me, this idea of respect coming back up as I went about my day, or my days. And so my hope today is to give us a pause to think about how respect plays a pivotal role for us. I'll give you a definition. In English, the word for respect can mean a feeling of deep admiration for someone or something, elicited by their abilities, their qualities, or achievements. Or it can also mean due regard for the feelings, wishes, rights, or traditions of others. I got curious and looked up the word in German, and it seems to have much more meanings and connotations based on how it's used. So just to give you a few. Der Respekt means respect or awe, deference, respectfulness, or fear. Die Achtung, respect, esteem, attention, regard, or deference. Hinsicht, respect, regard. Die Rücksicht, consideration, regard, or thoughtfulness. Man, and there were so many more German words for respect. No wonder German is so hard to learn. I'd like to turn to Romans chapter 7 and verse 14. Where Paul tells us in Romans 7, verse 14, for we know that the law is spiritual. God's law is spiritual. When we are showing respect, we are in essence showing that God's Spirit is indeed working in and through us. And so this is why God mentions respect so many times and in different ways and in different contexts. I always find that the Bible, God's living word, is useful in all contexts. But it takes thought and takes wisdom to apply it in our lives. Turning to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12, it says, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and an intents of the heart. The Word of God is here to help us to understand how to live spiritually. It should help us to make the decisions where we would not make them properly if we were not having God living within us. Respect, as we will see, is a critical component. When we are not respectful, God knows. We may be able to fool others, maybe put on a fake face, make it appear as if we are a certain way. But we know deep down, and God knows. And so I have a few points today that I want to talk about in regards to respect. My first point is respect for God. Respect for God. In order to show God respect, we must do so in spirit. God is spirit, and so we must worship him and show him deference in spirit. In John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24, Jesus Christ tells his disciples and us today this. John 4 and verse 23, "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Our respect for God must be based upon the truth and being spiritual in our ways. Without this, it's impossible to show him respect, nor do we worship him properly. We are called to engage with God on a spiritual level. A true worship is not limited to external actions or rituals like keeping the feast, but it's a deep personal connection with God that permeates every aspect of our lives. And this intimate relationship is made possible through the indwelling of the presence of God's Holy Spirit within us. It's what unites us with God and what guides us in our spiritual journey. Part of the reason we have baptisms. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13 and 14, we find that Solomon's wisdom led to this conclusion at the end of this book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of this whole matter. Fear or respect God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." Every other aspect of respect that I will discuss today stems from our ability to learn how to further come to a point where we respect God more and more. But this can only happen when we are developing our relationship with God. I heard this quote the other day, and it said, "Consistency in any relationship leads to intimacy." As we learn to worship in spirit and truth, as we've been doing all feast, we get further down this path. Our lives should become transformed by the power of God's presence. Now, this transformation is not only personal, but it's also communal. As we grow in our understanding of true worship, we become agents of reconciliation and healing and of peace, as we heard in the sermonette. in a world that is divided by differences and misunderstandings. Our worship of God becomes a powerful testimony to the love and the grace of God, showing others the life-changing presence of Christ living in our lives. And Christ told us this would be the case. In John 13 and verse 35, he says, John 13 and verse 35, "By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another." Moving on to my second point, a respect for the Sabbath and the holy days. The word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word that means to rest from labor. The word holy means something that is sacred or dedicated to God. God wants us to make Saturday, the Sabbath day, feel different from the other days of the week by resting from our normal daily routines and dedicating our thoughts and our time to Him. In essence, we are to make it holy because He has made it holy. This day of rest is so important for us. It sets us apart from the world at large, and even more so here in Germany. God wants us to set apart the Sabbath and the holy days as holy to Him. These days should feel different from the other days of the week by resting from our normal activities and dedicating our time to spending more time in learning how to further please Him. Turning to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 9. Where it says, "There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience." We need to be careful that we are keeping the Sabbath in a proper way that is ordained by God. And it is when we are keeping the Sabbath holy, we are obeying the fourth commandment of God. Turning to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 19. Hebrews 10 and verse 19 to 25. "Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he consecrated for us, through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." One of the important things is to fellowship with people of like mind, if there is a possibility to do so. I've seen some great examples of that here in Germany. Been awesome to see. Hope that's a good use of the word awesome. We continue to keep the Sabbath and the annual holy days because they set us apart. They are one of the defining marks in our lives. And it takes courage and resilience to continue keeping the Sabbath. And especially when we are newer members in the church. I would suggest that if you haven't read the booklets in a while on the Sabbath, then read the book Gottes Heilige Sabbat. It's a great booklet to refresh one's mind. My next point. Respect for creation. Apologies, Daniel, I'm going to go off script here for just a moment. We all went to the Gasolium, or is that right? Gasolium? Anyways, the place that we went to the other day on the bus tour. And seeing the beautiful pictures on the bottom, the wonderful creation that God has created, the amazing things, the animals, the beauty of nature, and then going upstairs and seeing the destruction. Quite a stark contrast between the two. A couple of the pictures upstairs actually brought tears to my eye. Okay, going back to the script. God gave Adam clear instructions to keep the garden and to make it beautiful. God expected his creation to be cared for. I find one of the best ways to really connect with God is to get out into nature and really take time to observe and enjoy this world. We humans have done a lot of damage to this earth, and it's having a hard time keeping up. But there are still beautiful places and animals and plants and amazing living things. And God has created all of this. When I take the time to look at it, it truly astounds me. All that God has created, and how many variations and types, and the uniqueness that there is. Now, my boys like to watch nature shows on the Sabbath, but they find that the ones that fascinate me the most are the ones that show the minute details. Watching a mushroom or a fungus grow, obviously sped up. I find it fascinating. And it just does this on its own. No one tells it, no one plants it. It does it. So I would suggest if we are feeling out of touch with God or frustrated, go somewhere in nature. Sit for a while. Breathe in the air. Enjoy. Listen to the birds. Find a trail of ants. Watch them as they carry on about their work. Turning to Job chapter 12 and verse 7. Job chapter 12 and verse 7, we'll read to verse 10. Job 12 and verse 7. But now, ask the beasts, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, and they will tell you. Or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? And whose hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of all mankind. God is a creator, hence our creation. He loves this, obviously. We also are made to create, and we do. Unfortunately, a lot of human creations and breakthroughs are byproducts of trying to get better at things like killing each other and war. But in the future, this will not be the case. You know, with the immense amount of destruction on this earth before the return of Christ and the start of his kingdom, now we are going to have to help those who are left to regenerate this earth and to make it wonderful and beautiful again. If we start having respect for the work and the ideas that God had in building this world, we will find it easy to step into the role to really make a wonderful difference in the kingdom. My next point is respect for parents. The Bible is very clear that young children should have respect for their parents. Even old children should have respect for their parents. It can be hard, especially when children grow to be teens or young adults, and it can feel like parents, they don't know that much. The streak of independence starts to shine through. I think about the scripture in Luke 15, 11 to 32. I'm not going to read it. You can read it later. Luke 15, 11 to 32. Where Christ gives a parable of the prodigal son who wastes his inheritance, disregarding what his father may think. And he wants to go and live on his own and do his own thing. And life beats him down to the point where he is willing to eat the food that is given to the pigs. He comes to his senses, goes back to his father, asking for forgiveness, to be given a second chance, even as just a servant. I remember reaching the age of 25, around there, and having to realize that my parents were right about a lot of things. The idea of respect for parents has shown up a lot recently in my writings and messages. But there's a side that I haven't mentioned yet. And it has to do with children watching their parents, their elders, and the people who they are supposed to respect. Now, our children watch us intently to figure out how to make sense of this world. And they take their social cues from us. So I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Where it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers and mothers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and the admonition of the Lord." Obedience, honor, and respect is what God expects. But Paul didn't just talk to the children, did he? He tells the fathers and the mothers and all those who are in charge or have a relationship with children to not cause them to become angry. But rather, in using trainings and admonitions with love and respect for the children, teach them by example. Walk with them through their lives. Paul is unpacking for us the truth of God, how it's a framework for our lives, and by extension, the lives of our children. There are obligations of the parents and of the children. And if done correctly, the result is harmony, or peace, as we heard this morning. It's not easy to achieve, but it is possible. And the fruits of God's Spirit really come into play here. I already talked about them earlier, and Mr. Spertzel already talked about the fruits of the Spirit. But again, now, in context of our children watching us, do these fruits take on a deeper meaning for us? Do our children see love and joy and peace, long-suffering and kindness, goodness, faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? We really have to think about our actions in every single instance. If we want respect and love and harmony in our families, we each individually must strive to use the Spirit of God in everyday ways. Paul tells us to leave behind the human thinking and to think spiritually, even with our children. Moving on to my next point, respect for fellow humans. It can be a challenge to show respect for people in this life. I have found that it's easy to give some people respect and then not to others. Depends on how people carry themselves, how they treat other people, what respect they show others. All of these factors and more go into the equation. The challenge for us is to be respectful at all times. Now, there are certain situations where I lose my cool, and that's not the proper way. But God is pretty explicit about how we are to act. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 27 and 28, Luke 6 and verse 27, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who spitefully use you." These words from Christ should challenge us. They should give us pause, make us reflect. Mr. Hanstein wrote a few weeks back about this in his editorial on Beauty Comes From Within. The thing about respect is that it shows humility on the part of the one giving respect. Without humility, it is impossible to serve. And our mindset should be on that of being the best servants that we can be, whether it's in our jobs, our families, or in the church. Turning to Matthew 20 and verse 24. Matthew 20 and verse 24. "And when the 10 heard it, they were greatly displeased with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to himself and said, You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who are great exercise authority over them. Yet it shall not be so among you. But whoever desires to become great among you, let him be your servant. And whoever desires to be first among you, let him be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. If everyone would show respect and act in accordance with the golden rule, do unto others as you would have them do unto you, how much better would this world be? Part of the problem we face in this world is a lack of respect for human beings, for human life. When God's kingdom is established and we can teach the proper way to live, these things will no longer be an issue. Everyone will learn to live peaceably with each other. There will no longer be wrong spirits trying to rule. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 9, Romans 12 and verse 9 to 11. Paul says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor or respect. Don't be slothful in zeal, but fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. The idea of working to show respect and honor to other people is so interesting because if we focus on it, it really goes into every detail of our lives. The other thing here that I want to call our attention to is Paul's mention of being fervent in spirit. I started the sermon by talking about how everything is spiritual. And Paul continues with this idea. We are dealing with the spiritual and the physical. We only get to see the physical at this point. But that does not mean that we are not dealing with the spiritual. Everything that we do action-wise needs to be based in the Spirit. We should do what needs to be done with respect and honor for people. We should also not compromise with God's word. So if there's a situation where we need to do what God says versus what man says, then the answer is clear. Again, if you would have time, you should also review Obeying God Rather Than Man, our booklet. It goes into this subject in much more detail. But this will always come into play in our lives. And even more so as we go back into the world in a few days. Two more points. Respect for fellow Christians. While we are to show respect for all people, we are to do more so for those in the body of Christ, for our brothers and our sisters. We are a family. And we are to do everything we can to lift each other up, to exhort one another. In turning to 1 Peter 2, verse 17, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. I always think about how the word of God applies in my life. How do we love the brotherhood? What is entailed in that? Would suggest thinking about this. Would say one of the main ways would be to reach out to people. Try and make that a priority in this coming year. A text, a email, snail mail, a phone call. All useful ways of communicating with one another. Turning to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 11. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. The previous 10 verses in 1 Thessalonians 5 talk in depth about the return of Christ and how we are to continually be getting prepared and standing our guard. We need the strength of our fellow brethren to help us at times. We need each other's prayers. Continuing on in verse 12 to 21, we see even further ways to show respect. Verse 12, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good, both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Jesus Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things and hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Respect for each other goes so far. We have so much to give each other. With the proper respect, we all grow and mature together. And my final point, respect in marriages. Marriage is a unique thing. It's a striving to make two become one. It's interesting that a man and a woman come from completely different backgrounds, their upbringings, their families, their values, their traditions, their love for different things. Yet they have to come together and mash it up and make it one. They learn over time to make a family unit, two becoming one, just like our relationship with God, learning how to become one with God. There is a lot of patience, humility, talking, figuring things out. And it's a lifetime commitment. People change and grow. And this must be taken into account for as well. Turning to Ephesians 5 and verse 33. We read this. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. The roles laid out here by Paul are not accidental. The man's job is to carefully love his wife. Paul writes in verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water and the word, that he might present her to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. So husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. And then in verse 22, it says, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. In marriage, we are responsible for how the other spouse feels about us. The wife wants to be loved. The husband wants to feel respected. Is this a reality in our lives, in our marriages? Now, Paul isn't saying, oh, just when you feel like it, you can show love or you can show respect. No, he is saying that these things need to happen unconditionally. When we say, I'm not going to have respect for my husband because of this reason or that reason, or if the man says, I don't want to show my wife love because of this reason or that reason, the marriage relationship begins to suffer, and if not corrected, fails. And it can take a long time to get to this point of failure. But when both partners are committed to obeying God's commands to love and to show respect, then the marriage will thrive. We should remember, the husband's love is not optional. A wife's respect is not optional. It's a requirement. Obviously, you could talk many sermons about marriages. But I would say, making sure that we are putting the other person first and showing love and respect is a good start. Really, we can't go wrong if we are doing this. You know, we all, at times, can act in ways that are not respectful. We also always don't qualify to be shown respect. We should really allow God to define for us what respect is. We should be wise enough to use God's Spirit in our lives and see that respect is a tool that He gives us. If we use it properly with godly wisdom and we apply it in the many areas of our lives where it is needed, then our lives will be better for it. And not only that, but it'll be better for everyone around us and for their benefit. And that is something that we should all strive for. It takes dedication to study how we can show respect. I've given us a few examples, but there's so much more to be figured out in this life. The simplest way to do would be to start practicing respect, praying about it, meditating on it, what it should look like in our lives when we apply it. As we wrap up on this last day of the feast, I would encourage us all to take heart to this attribute and to put it into practice in our lives. I love when we get to practice God's ways, because it's then that we get to see the outcomes. And that is what God wants.